Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on Tuesday the 11th of July. It's just went 7 o'clock and a bit like some of the Celtic stars who were away on international duty, there's only two of us tonight, so we're returning at different phases of pre-season. But I'm delighted to say it is the fans' favourite Danny. It's home away tonight. Danny, how you doing? It's been an interesting few weeks since we've had you on air. We've had a lot happen. Obviously Jota leaving, Moy retiring. But on the plus side, we've had new contracts for Kyogo, Daizen Maeda, and most recently, Callum McGregor. How are you feeling about Celtic, you know?
It's all very positive at the minute, isn't it? It's been really good that it's coming out of the club recently and tying up three key players for is really, really important. And getting Kyogo on a new contract was business because you know what it's like. Come 12, like say, 6 months' time, they're going to be on here talking about whether you cash in on them in the summer, you know. Offer him a, obviously we'd all say offer him a contract, but you talk about selling him in the summer, cash in on him, or do you keep him and let him go for a free in the summer? So take that right out of the equation for another couple of years is important. Maeda is another one, a really good player. I'm actually quite heartened the fact that Rodgers is, there are some people that thought Maeda will not play a big part under Rodgers. I think they're wrong. I think he'll play with as big a part as he did under Ange, maybe no better, if not bigger. He does divide opinion a wee bit, Maeda. I think his attributes are different than we've got, but I don't think there's another player in the league like Maeda. I think he's he is unique. He's a fucking hell of an athlete, and he does contribute. You know, we've seen him, we set that goal up in the semi-final, he sets up enough goals. It's not as if he can do his run, but I think we're very lucky to have him, so to tie him up was great as well. And McGregor, the captain, probably confirms that he will be a one-man club. I know he had a loan spell elsewhere. He will spend his entire career as a Celtic player. I think that's great news. And then you start looking towards the future for him as well. But getting him tied was good news when the captain signed the new contract. And McGregor's been so important to us in the last couple of years. Well, for probably 6 or 7 years now, he's been really important. But he's probably now, not just because he's a captain, but the way he plays, and he's probably the most now more important than ever. So that was good news. And there's rumours that another couple of players are going to get contracts. I mean, Hatate seems to be one a lot of folk are talking about. Carter Vickers is another. If we can tie Dunmer best players, I know we've lost Jota, but if we can tie Dunmer best players, it's just a good holiday. And it's a good thing that Rodgers has come in. And this has happened as well. I mean, it's not as if the old manager signed all these players on contracts and then left Rodgers to come in kind of stuck. Rodgers obviously part of this, and that bodes well for the future that he's not going to just try and wrap up and not start again.
I think you're spot on. As you say, it's really important that we did keep the nucleus of this team together, because there's a lot of talent there. I think everybody knew that, and I don't think anybody expected six or seven first team players to go out the door, but there was obviously that worry that when Ange left, that a few of the players might possibly take that opportunity to leave at the same time and look to move to pastures new. But as for now, it's only been Jota, and I think that was a sort of freak sort of transfer that just sort of happened, and it was something that Celtic probably felt they couldn't stand in Jota's way. I know a lot of the people that have been greeting on Twitter were happy that they finally got their goodbye post from Jota, but no, I think that one just sort of made sense. And I think possibly in the sort of longer term, as we go into next season, people might even be thankful eventually that it was Jota. I think there have been players ahead of him in terms of the sort of disruption and significance that they would have had if they had been taken out of that team that had just come off winning the treble. But I obviously wish Jota well, but I think that was just good business for everybody concerned. I think that Cal McGregor signing, as you say, takes him to, he's going to be here, or the contract lasts till he's 35. I think it very much looks like that will be the if it's not extended, it'll probably be due to maybe retirement. But McGregor's fit as a fiddle, he plays so many games, if you don't know what it's going to be the state in 5 years' time. But I think that you're right, I think that I can't see him leaving now. I think that he could have probably done that a few years ago. Well, he's got the talent today at the new, but he's obviously relishing leading Celtic towards more trophies. He's that's 5 out of 6 domestic trophies that he's took when he's been made captain, and I think that that's obviously he's hungry for more. And like Roger spoke about how important he was, and that he had a meeting with him in Mallorca as well, and McGregor sort of gave him the lowdown on the squad. And I think that's exactly what McGregor's going to be for Rodgers. He's going to be he's sort of right-hand man on the pitch. Like, he's somebody who's obviously worked with Rodgers for a long time before, and he's got the manager's trust and the supporters' trust. It's just, I think it just makes sense. We obviously done a few videos on the Pod Times YouTube channel discussing Dyson Maeda and Kyogo's extended contracts, and I see that, just go youtube.com and search for Pod Tims. Let us know what you think of it on there as well. So I'll not cover too much on them. I reckon that it'd be, if you could get Hitati and Carter Vickers tied in, I think that that would be like outstanding business, and it just sort of gets ahead of people worrying about are they going to go this summer. I think it's probably still likely that maybe one or two first team players go. Who that is, I don't know, but I just feel that the sort of player trading model we've got, I think Jota's obviously brought in a lot of income at the moment, and well, I don't think we need to sell, but I just think the sort of model we look to be building, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe one more notable first team player did leave before the transfer window shuts. Danny, I just want to bring you this sort of this theory that's been going about, that a lot of people seem to think that these guys like Kyogo, Cal McGregor and Dyson Maeda, and possibly a few more, are getting these sort of improved contracts. And the theory is that we're sort of bumping these guys' wages up because we're maybe looking to bring a couple of more players in who you've seen sort of the players we've been linked with that might come for between £10 and £15 million. I think a lot of people expect that they would come with hefty wages as well. Do you think there's any sort of sense to that theory that we might be bumping these guys' wages up in expectation of bringing a couple of high earners in?
I see the relevance in it, credence in it. I think especially McGregor, he's a captain, so I mean, I'd imagine, I know John Terry had a clause in his contract when he was at Chelsea that he's always got to be the highest earner or match the highest earner, so I'd imagine McGregor maybe there's something like that in his contract. I'd imagine all captains stay these days. Great business to bring in somebody and pay him more than your captain. Especially if I'm so important to the club like McGregor is to us. So I can see it from that point of view. Of course, the players could be just getting rewarded for winning a treble. But then where do you stop? I think what you said earlier about losing a player is, you know what Celtic fans are like. Contract's going to be going. You know, I think it's been unconfirmed, so I don't think I've ever heard it come out of the player or anybody at the club, but I think Abbas rejected a contract. I think some people have said that, well, there's been reports So he could be on the move. I think it'd be, I think, to lose two wingers of the quality. I'd enjoy it. It would be really disappointing. I know we brought in Teo, but I'd like to keep a bad this summer. But I see that theory working out. But what a lot of people keep saying Celtic have got all this money. Need to spend, like, folk are setting themselves up for a fall, really. If Celtic don't spend 60 million, we're going to be saying we've not done enough. So I would expect, I was going to say expect, but it's not really that strong. I think Celtic will probably break their transfer record. I also think they'll break the record for how much they've spent in a summer. But what you need to remember is if you're signing guys at 15 million, you need to pay them like £15 million players. And that's, you know, £100 odd grand a week. We would never pay that money. So I don't see bringing these players in. Like, I'd love to think it possible, but when you look at them, what they'll do, I mean, there's no way McGregor and that are on £100 grand a week now, you know what I mean? So maybe you try and find some that, I mean, the boy, is it Ryder? I've seen him, he looks like an excellent player, coming for Young Boys of Bern, I think. Maybe he would come for a run about that money and he'd get paid that money. It's exciting to think that we'd be shopping in the markets, but I'm not holding out much hope for it. I think we could maybe sign three or four players at say 6 to 8 million. I think it's maybe more realistic, maybe just under 10 rather than spending like 15 on somebody. But if we, you know, it's a sign of intent under Rodgers, and I would be all for it, but I don't know. I wouldn't know what to hope, I think, but I do think we'll spend around about 30 months.
Do you think that that's the sort of, possibly the next stage that we need to get to, is sort of doing that on a consistent basis? You look at the sort of higher end transfers we've made in the last, like, a wee while. I think Jota was 6.5 million, I think Carter Vickers was about 5, Edward was about 9, and Julian was about like 7, between 7 and 8 as well. Like, they're all sort of players that played really well. I know Julian sort of didn't finish up the way that possibly the others Celtic careers did, but do we need to just, rather than bringing these sort of, or at least getting a mix where we bring in sort of these younger guys like Telio and Home, but also bringing in these players that are sort of first team ready? Like, because I think that's, like, everybody that sort of wants Celtic to progress, which obviously is a full support, but players that, fans that want us to act like an Ajax or Benfica or Red Bull Salzburg or whatever, like, they see the transfer fees that they command, but generally, because of the model they've got, they're able to spend bigger on players as well. Do we just need to sort of consistently do that if we are looking to improve the squad, like, in terms of what everybody wants is, like, better progress in Europe?
I think you're right. The player trading model has served as well in the past, but we've never really progressed it. To a point, you know, we always keep spending, you know, 2-3 mil. I know last couple of years we spent quite a bit of money, like, you're, you know, Jota, Carver. I mean, Sinclair was transfer fee at the time. That was a success. Dembele, I know, was like a cross ball. It was 500k, but Dembele was getting paid a lot of money. When you spend it, it's worked out well for us. And I think with Rodgers, his first time at a club, punting, you know, we think we'd the highest ever turnover. And when you speculate to accumulate, it works sometimes. And when you talk about the player trading mod, we seem to sign players for around about kind of 1-2 million for years. Like when you have Foster, etc. Van Dijk, I think, was 2.5 at the time. And then you punt them for, you know, 5, 6, 7 times the money. Then you kind of need to move it up. You need to start signing players at 3 and 4 million, selling 15, you know, 5, 6, selling for 20. We never really seem to do that. We've done it on the odd occasion, but it's never really been a strategy, almost. Because I look at Ajax, they bought Bassi for about 22 million, punt them for a loss, but they buy players for a bit, and to me, I think we're a world away for that, mainly because the work permits in Holland and that are all different. They seem to be more affordable there. They obviously have more money in that league. It just seems to be easier. Same in Portugal. It just seems to be easier for them to sign South American players on a consistent basis than us. But maybe, I mean, something that struck me, Dan, I don't know if you agree, doesn't he seem to have as much control as he did? I know he's only been in the door still about a month now, but less than a month, and we've not even seen him play a game yet. But when he first came in, you got the sense that, and I know it, a lot of stuff came out 2 or 3 months into his first reign, the sense that he'd completely revamped everything. You know, like they brought in umpteen coaches and like analysis rooms, and you know, they brought in that guy, dang, come back actually, the guy O'Driscoll, performance, whatever. And the guy's talking about players and Everton's, you know, Everton's blah blah blah, and Everton's fucking shape to each player's needs. And that, I think he's genuine. I think for what I've heard for Rodgers when he's come back, he seems genuinely impressed with the state that Celtic's in when it comes to recruiting in other areas of the club, and he's not brought in as many folk this time. Maybe he'll go and bring folk in. It strikes me that he's not got that control, or he's not. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think if he's, maybe he's just like, right, I'm in here, coach the players. And maybe we do, in the next couple of years, you see a progression to us spending 40 million in a summer, signing 6 players that run about 5, 6, 7 million, knowing full well that there's a chance that we're going to well over 3 figures in the amount, you know, well over 100 million when you punt them, because Jota was a freak. We got 25 mil for Jota. I think it was around about 25 and a wee bit more if you read some people. Going to the Saudis was a bit. I don't think Jota would have left us this summer for other than a transfer like that. But I don't think Jota wasn't going to go for anything like 10 million or anything like that. He was always going to have a big, big fee. And so about, you can sell 2 or 3 of them a year. You're talking at the guts of 80 million if you get maybe talking over 100. So it's not a bad, it wouldn't be a bad strategy for us, considering the league we're in and stuff like that. But I think under Rodgers, if they're not going to do it under Rodgers, Darren, and they'll never do it, progress up now and start signing, you're at, like you do say, a first team ready player at 6, 7, 8 million. If they don't start signing 2 or 3 of these this summer, if they don't do it under Rodgers this spell, I don't think we ever will.
I think you're right. I think you make a lot of good points there. I think that I think you're spot on about Rodgers being impressed by the sort of infrastructure that's been put in place since he left. I think he seemed genuinely impressed. He kept bigging up Mark Lawwell. I know he's not been too much of a public figure since he joined, but the recruitment seems to be a lot more structured, and it's no, like my worry was when Ange left, that from the outside for a long time, I thought Ange was just the one doing everything. It appears that Rodgers is impressed with the way the recruitment's sort of been set up and is working at the moment, and I think that that's shown in the fact that we progressed with the deals for guys like Holman, Helio. I mean, Telio done his press conference last week and says that Celtic had sort of been speaking to him for a few years, so it's obviously something that's been ongoing, and these guys might come in and do a fantastic job, and like we all hope they do. But like I think it's crucial that we bring in these sort of players at that, like Carter Vickers and Jota. Like we spent good money on them, but it started with a loan deal. I'm not saying that you kind of get good players on loan deals, but ideally, if we're bringing these guys in on permanent deals to begin with, it puts us in a much powerful position. We're not spending summers worrying if people are going to sign permanently. And as you say, I think we're a million miles away from like your Benficas and Ajax, and there might be external factors to that. But if we're ever going to get anywhere near them, we need to sort of look to improve. Because you're right, like there did seem, maybe not so much recently, but for like the best part of the last 10 years, there was that sort of consistent, we'll spend between 1 and 3 million on players, and you know what, some of them will work, some of them won't, but it's all right because
sold Wanyama for 12 million, we sold Van Dijk for this, we sold Foster for this. Like, it's for every one that they got wrong, they could sort of afford to, but you need to sort of consistently push that. And as you say, it's sort of speculate to accumulate, but the way Rodgers was the last time he was there, like, you think about it, I think that summer we were linked with John McGinn and Pacini, and we ended up with Malumbu and Izaguirre back on a free, and like that sort of summed up everything that was wrong under Rodgers. Like, towards the end, it did feel like there was a massive disconnect. And I was at that press conference at Celtic Park with Rodgers, and he spoke about, I thought it was a very interesting line, he says he spoke about how it was important to keep players out rather than not just focusing who's coming in. And I think that sort of boils down to identifying players that everybody's agreed on and that you're not just getting hit with. Like, everybody remembers this sort of infamous quote from him about Marian Schwed, when he said that he didn't need any wingers, he'd never heard the Schwed, and that sort of just put the club in an image that they probably didn't want portrayed in, where it looked all over the place. I do think we look a lot more joined up, and hopefully that is the case and continues to improve, because the gap between us and Champions League teams is massive. Like, nobody's denying that, but you look at teams like even like Club Bruges that got to the last 16 last season, I think they won their group as well, or very close to, but it's no without, like, people think the Champions League is like just something we can't aspire to. I'm not saying we're going to go and win it, but we're definitely not a million miles away from competing. Like, it was fine margins last season. We should have won the two games against Shakhtar, and we took our chances in some of the other games. Like, you never know, but it's bringing the players in who, if you bring a player in at 8 to 10 million, you know the club's intention is to bring him in and not have him sit on the bench. Like, they've been brought in to make an impact and make us better, and the club was exceptional domestically, so I think it's obvious that these are the type of players that we're looking to improve us in Europe. And whether that's your Borges or Reader, like, I think it'd be good to get a few of them in at the moment, just because I think Rodgers will want to put his own mark on it. And I spoke to people at the time, I don't think Rodgers would have come back if he wasn't convinced that he could take us to a sort of a step further than they did in Europe the last time. And like, it remains to be seen. You could get hit with a group of death somewhere, or just like things don't go your way, but I don't think we're a million miles away, and I think that'll be Rodgers' aim with this 3-year deal. I think he'll be looking to really make an impact on Europe whilst continuing the domestic success.
Aaron, CJ, yeah. Before you move, yeah, the two of you have touched on it, but do you think Rodgers, we're in a position now where we can go out and fit sign, and I think Fabian Schär was the other one he was looking at before the World Cup, because ironically with a cost of it $2.5 million, which we definitely could have splashed out. But do you think he looked an £8 million player that I'm going to get it?
I think he would have gave demands that he expected to be met when he was there, and like, he can't go and sign just anybody. But if he's identifying top targets, I think especially this summer, like, it might, who knows what will happen in a few years. You never know where you're bored. They have been sort of notorious for penny pinching in the past. Hopefully that is a thing in the past with sort of relatively new figures on it. But I just don't think he would have come back. Like, I think his domestic sort of side, and that was so good when he was here the first time, I think if he didn't think that he was going to be able to come here and bring players in, like, I don't think this squad's necessarily about coming in and improving a few guys, like your Tierney and Armstrong were the last time, where you had that quality and you just need to develop. I think this team's already at a level above what he came in here last time. And I think that, as I say, I think he wouldn't have came here with certain demands and a sort of transfer activity. And I think it's important as well, Danny, that even if we are bringing in these 8-10 million players, they don't all need to be Rodgers' picks. Like, there should be a sort of alignment where Rodgers obviously is part of the recruitment process, but these players are brought in, and like, Rodgers is heralded as like a fantastic coach. Everybody that's worked with him seems to agree with that. So if we've got him there and he can be fully focused on coaching the players and being given the tools to progresses in Europe, then I think that's just as important, the fact that everything has to be smooth, just in case, as we get happened the end of June, the start of June, sorry, we get caught off guard and the manager leaves again. You need to have that sort of continuity in place.
Aye. No, I think you're right. I think you said it earlier, but we were all worried that Ange was kind of a one-man band when he left. I've got 40 pieces, because last year we were talking about him being the fucking director of football and the managing director and chief scout and all the rest of it, but there is a good structure in place. And I just think, Roy, you're right, I don't think Rodgers would have come back without these assurances. I think, because it was a weird one, like who's in the bargaining position here, do you know what I mean, when they were going to, like who's got the upper hand, is it Rodgers, or is it Celtic, you know what I mean, Rodgers, wasn't he? The most liked person with Celtic support, maybe still no, certainly not a month ago. But yeah, I can't imagine just coming
sorry,
back.
Sorry, Danny, good thing says there. I think that sort of sums it up. Like, the fact you say is he's not the most well liked by the full support yet. I think, look, one of his aims is probably to bring the full support round. I think that just adds to it, the fact that that's why I think he will get the players he wants, just because it's got to be a hard enough job bringing people round with full batting, never mind with one arm tied behind his back.
I agree, and I think that would have come into his thinking when he was thinking about taking the job. But I just can't see him agreeing to come back to work like he did in 2016, because he's a far better manager than when he came in the first time. And we have progressed as a club, we've moved on as a club, there's that avenue straight into the Champions League as well, so you're activating 30 odd million straight away before you even kicked a ball. There's prizes for points when it comes to Champions League when you win money for a result. So just looking at him, he must have thought, he got obviously frustrated Celtic the first time, and that summer, you know, after the World Cup, he's just done a double team. We've been into Champions League 2 in a row. I don't think it was unreasonable for Celtic to go in 20 million in players that summer. I think some of the players, like Armstrong, had left, Brown was getting on a bit. I know Brown played for around 4 years, and they didn't have a bad season. The COVID season, when everybody had a bad season, McGregor was coming through, but like Christie, anywhere that third season. For the doldrums, and I know people were talking about it, and then that was the kind of cover stories off beside McGinn. Christie wouldn't have broke through. Christie breaking through, I'm not saying it was a freak, but it was kind of out of nowhere. It was obviously, but I don't think it was unreasonable for Rodgers to expect that the board would maybe go and sign to a freak, let's say 7-8 million. And then when we, you know, that was a really kind of disappointing season up until Rodgers. I thought actually the best part of the season was up until Rodgers, because I think we'd won something later in that game in a row. So I think he was frustrated, and he took the way he left, we don't need to go at it again, you know, we've all got our thoughts on it. I just don't see him coming back if it was going to be the same thing, and I think he's probably assessed before he took the job. It seemed to take a while for him to kind of get announced and stuff. Now that he's been there a couple of weeks, he's away, he'll probably know. And obviously okay, day two signings to come in with as well. I thought it was good that he said he'd spoke to the boy Thiago Odin, Thiago Holm, before he came home. I spoke to him that way. But I look at him when he comes in, I think he thinks I can get these opportunities now. If I go to the board. And maybe it is Nicholson's, you know, got that kind of thing. I think we ever missed out on a player under Postecoglou. I can't even remember us missing out on a player. And we badly wanted. We seem to kind of get all our targets, and know that doesn't always happen. But I think Rodgers probably thinks that's for the norm now. You know, for what a player will go get him. And it's really exciting. I'm really excited because normally if Jota had left, say like we sold. Like on other seasons, you sell your arguably one of our best players. People start going about how we're weaker last year and all that. And I was concerned that I wasn't concerned, because I just put myself into a mindset that Rodgers will sort it out and Rodgers will get it right, whatever Rodgers happen, and it will be the right thing. And I'm excited to see. I know we've signed two players. Who Rodgers' real first signing is, who he's identified and gone in. It'd be good. I'm really excited to see it. And hopefully, I think what you said there was right. It's not the same job as it was. He doesn't come in and develop. Like Rodgers, because I seen a thing Ryan did on YouTube the other night. It was a really good video about rating all Rodgers' signings. And I think he had three or four in the top tier. He had three good couple. I think he had about five or six that were like mid and rest were all shite. And I was looking at it, but I was thinking back on it. Like, but Rodgers' best work the last time was with players that were already there, apart from Sinclair and Dembele, Hammond, Edward and stuff. Like, they were all good players. But this time, you're right, it's all the standard of players so much higher. Of course, he can develop one or two on. I mean, I'm expecting a big season out of O'Reilly this year, but and some others that I think Rodgers can really kick on and see that. But it's almost, I don't know if you agree, Dan. Almost like not putting finishing touches on the squad because it's just won a treble. But I think what you said there was right. It'll not take too much to take us to a new, you know what I mean? It's not as if we need four or five. I think over the next 3 years, I might introduce five or six players, but it might only be two or three a year that will really take Celtic to like a new level. Hopefully competing in Europe and like winning games and winning a knockout tie, because that's coming up for 20 years, and that's just nuts. It's just mental.
No, you're right. As I say, I think it is sort of just the finishing touches that you're looking to improve with these players, like as you say, guys like O'Reilly and Hatate. They'll know the finished article, but they're still absolute top quality for the level we're at the now. And any improvement you get off them is just going to see them push on even further. I think you're right. It doesn't need to be a massive overhaul, but if you do add that they sort of two or three bits of quality, then it could make a difference. Like you look, as I say, we should have won the two games against Shakhtar last year. I think that's sort of undoubted, especially the away game. We had enough chances to win two games that night, and on another day, like I'm not saying we'd have beat Madrid at home, but if you'd sort of took the chances that we had, if McGregor's shot had went the other side of the post and sort of clipped in rather than clipped wide, like it's just a different game. And even Leipzig, like we had chances in their games as well, and it has small margins. And as I say, look, I've seen the provisional seedings for the Champions League. There's every chance we could get hit with a nightmare draw and we could finish bottom of the group again, no matter who we sign. Like it's just these wee things we've got to hope go our way. And I think we'll bring, if you'd ask me the sort of level we'll bring, I think we'll maybe bring two or three in for possibly between 8 and 10 million, or maybe one higher than 10 million and two sort of bringing it up to about that. I know you mentioned that 30 million mark earlier. I think that wouldn't surprise me. And at the same time, as I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if one goes out the door, whether that is like a Starfelt or a Bada or somebody like that. It wouldn't surprise me, but I'd like to think that would be reinvested as well. We're now about a third into July. Danny, do you think that this week we will get that sort of first Rodgers signing, as you would call it? I know the other two are going to be in the first team squad, but as we say, I think it'll be quite evident when we get that sort of first major signing. Do you think that'll come this week? I know there's been talk from some who appear to be in the know that there was a couple of work permits pending.
Yeah, I think the boy, completely forgot about him, but that seems to have stalled a wee bit. And I think folk might, I'm not using work off them, but that may be a legacy signing for Ange. Folk will just assume it is because he comes from like South Korea, because we've signed a few players for there under Ange. But I think that Ange obviously unlocked that market for Celtic, but I don't think it's that. I say that the scouting department have obviously zeroed in on it the last couple of years. So they'll continue to scout that market. Why not? It served us so well. This week, I mean, I was thinking maybe before they went away on pre-season, I know they're in Portugal for the next week. And then they go to Japan and play two games over there. So I don't know. I can't see a player flying them straight to Japan. It just seems a bit, not a bit daft, but it just seems like the right date when they come back. So in your case, they're waiting to the end of the month. And but you'd like to think it would sooner rather than later. But I really don't know. Hopefully before they fly out to Japan, because it would be a really good place to bed a player in and get them used to the squad rather than coming back and playing catch-up with everybody in pre-season and, you know, not being ready for the start of the season.
No, I think that's fair. I think, obviously, we don't have Champions League qualifiers, which doesn't put as much pressure on bringing them in, but I think the earlier you do, it just sort of gets you in with the squad and in with the coaches. It's something that I'd like to think we will get done either this week or next week. And I know the league doesn't kick off, I think it's the 5th of August that kicks off, so we've still got a few weeks, but you don't want to have to be sort of bringing them in and throwing them straight in, like the sort of way we did with Sinclair, Rogers first time, or even Kyogo when Ange came in. Like, he was sort of brought in and on the bench that day. Like, you'd like to think you can get these players in. We should hopefully have a lot of the work done by now, and whether it is work permits or we're just waiting on finalising stuff, like, hopefully it will be not too long, before we get these players unveiled and give the support something even more to look forward to for the upcoming season. But we've gone about just over half an hour, so I think we'll wrap up. It's still pre-season, not too much to speak about. As Danny said, the players are in Portugal. We've got a couple of games this week, hopefully they're broadcast somewhere. I don't know if they're on Celtic TV, so I don't want to say that, but I'm sure somebody will come up with a stream somewhere for it, as you often get for these pre-season games. But it'll be good to see the team back. If there's any sort of notable changes, I doubt it very much at this early stage, but it will just be good to see Celtic back playing. Danny, before I let you go, I'll take a prediction. We always do predictions. Do you think that we will have any signings in by next week, and do you think any of our first team players will have signed a new contract by the time we're next on air?
Before we're next air, I think we'll sign two players. There you go, hopefully before they go to Japan. And I think two others in the team will sign a contract. And I don't think we'll lose another first teamer this summer. No, a starter. If I was to put two in the book at the minute, it would be Abada and Starfelt. I don't know why, but and no, because he's Birdland. I don't know why I think Starfelt might leave, but I find it odd that he's not been offered a contract. But maybe he was come out, but he's been there, he's got a couple of years left, and maybe they might keep him. He's CC of moving age. But a prediction would be two in and two new contracts. I don't think we'll lose a first team.
No, I think we'll have a new signing in by the end of this week, and I think that we'll have two new contracts as well. I'd like to think Starfield won't leave, and I worry if he does, just because I says it on the YouTube last week. I'm petrified if he goes in terms of who'll partner CCB, especially if CCB's no back for the start of the season. I know he is away on pre-season with him, but you never know how the recovery's actually gone. So if we do bring in new signings, hopefully one of them's a centre-half, just to give me that peace of mind. And I think that, I know there's a few rumours going about in Twitter the night that Hitati's the next one to sign up. I think that'd be fantastic news. And I don't know, maybe it'll even be done. Usually what happens is we go off air, as we did in the YouTube last week. We went off air and 12 hours later, Jota was away and Aaron Moy had announced his retirement, so that's what usually happens when we finish recording. But we will be back with any sort of breaking news. We'll bring it to the YouTube first because it's just easier to go live there. So keep an eye, make sure you're subscribed for the latest on that. And if not, we'll speak to you next time we have the Four Tims back, which I'm sure will be next week at some point. So thanks very much for listening, and we will speak to you later. Cheers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.